Okay, I'd like to convene the Ways and Means Committee, and we are scheduled to meet this morning, and we'll have to adjourn if we're not done by 12:45, because the floor session will begin at noon. I want to give people a chance to get across the street.
11:45.
I mean 11:45, yeah. Yeah, that would get you across the street in good time at 12:45. So we will, if we're not done, then we will simply recess and convene after the floor session. If you're aware of the House rule, it says that committees should not meet on Fridays beyond noon. Unless you get special permission from the speaker, and we've done that, so we're cleared. But I'm optimistic that we'll be able to get done in the morning hours, so that may be a mute issue. We do have the minutes from March 24th. We have a motion. Representative Mariani moves approval of the minutes. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carried. Bill that we're going to start to build during the committee period here, if you'll recall, we laid over for inclusion some of the bills from last Monday. We will formally put them in House File 3172 this morning, and then we'll continue to add the committee bills into the omnibus budget bill today and on Monday. However, we do have one bill that will take up first, House File 2120 by Representative Holberg. She presented that the other day, and we laid it over for I think I used the term possible inclusion, and we've decided to let that one go as a separate bill. There seems to be a fair amount of consensus about it. Do you want to, Representative Holberg, just remind people what it was, just from right there, and then we'll just take a motion to put it on the general register.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair. This was the bill that put together a Data Practices Legislative Commission of 10 members, five from each body, that would have the ability to meet off-season and interim to discuss data practice and privacy issues.
Okay. Anybody have any questions? We did. Representative Mariani.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Holberg. I like your bill. I think it's an important issue that we have to do much more consistent, thorough vetting in the legislative process. However, I want to ask about the composition of the commission. So we have five senators and five reps, which you know, obviously means there'll be five of one part or three of one party and two of the other. Is the thinking behind this what a standardized process relative to commissions, or is there a reason why we would not do equal number of representation on the commission from the parties?
Thank you,
Representative Holberg.
Mr. Chair and Representative Mariani, I tried to choose the path of least resistance, and being in the minority, it seemed to make sense to allow for more. Certainly, if the majority party wanted to amend it to have equal numbers, I would be supportive of that, given that the goal is try and get more members in the body with more expertise around some of these very complex issues. But I also recognize the political realities around here as well.
Representative Mariani.
Mr. Chair and Representative Holberg, so I'm stepping into an area that I normally don't wander in, although all reps eventually are going to wander into data privacy issues. But it seems to me that this is so food for thought, you know, as we go forward. It seems to me that this is one a particular area where we should take extreme caution. And I'm not speaking here, I guess I'm speaking to everyone here. Extreme caution, you know, not to politicize the issue. And data speaks for itself. Privacy rights, you know, rise to, you know, high, compelling state interest. It's not like we're setting, you know, particular expenditure levels or a whole different policy direction in a given area. It's really something that needs to be much more objectively and prudently, you know, reviewed. And so anyway, food for thought as we go forward.
Right, thank you.
Yeah, Representative Holbrook, if you recall, I mentioned that to you, that had come up informally. So maybe you can talk more about that as the bill moves forward. But I know you mentioned that concern the other day, and I mentioned it to Representative Holbrook. But I think the idea is to move it out then today, and maybe you can have further discussions about that. So would you like to make a motion?
Certainly. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move that House File 2120 I think the new vernacular is moved to the calendar. We're not approving bills anymore, I guess.
That was a negotiated issue. Okay, that motion is before us. Any further discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Committee.
And I'd like to now move House File 3172, the Omnibus Supplemental Appropriations Bill. And Representative Pawlowski, you'll become the first article. And if you could.
All right. Mr. Chair, I move to delete everything after the enacting clause and insert the content of House File 3144. This bill we heard on the 24th. It simply converts a one-time $17 million funding issue from last session to a base adjustment. The bill has two sentences. That's it.
Okay, any discussion on the motion? And just so it's clear, then basically that motion strikes everything after the enacting clause, and we begin to build the House version of the budget. Okay, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Representative Mahoney.
Everybody know.
Representative Mahoney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move House File 2976. I have a couple of amendments that are mine to get the bill in shape that I'd like.
Okay, and that motion is to include it then in House File.
And I would like to.
What is that again? 3172. Harder number to remember than 1812, but we'll.
3172. Yes, Mr. Chair and members, I'd like to move the 835 amendment.
Okay. If you want to explain the amendment, then Representative.
Mr. Chair, committee members, it is pretty much technical in making sure the language is appropriate. There's, as you can see at the top, most of this is to make this one-time appropriations where it needs to be. It's clearing up some language. I think in the bill it has, if you see on line 1.5, we're changing the name of the Urban Initiative. We had it the Urban Initiative Foundation. We're now making it the Urban Initiative Board, which is the better appropriate name. 1.8 directs them to spend that money on technical assistance and organizational capacity building. And again, there's a on page 8, line 4, it deletes 250 and inserts 275. But other than that, that is pretty much what that bill does. Also, I'm sorry, on 2.3, the Bureau of Mediation Services. Last year, we created the Office of Dispute Resolution. They don't have a fiscal agent. The Bureau of Mediation Services will now be their fiscal agent, so they can accept gifts or grants or whatever.
Okay, so that's the amendment. Any discussion on the amendment? Representative Holbrook.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Mahoney, I was looking at the language on page 2 of the amendment and also what was originally in the bill around this issue. And is your intent that all of these gifts, requests, grants, or payments for service be public information?
Yes. Mr. Chair, Representative Holberg.
Yes. Okay, Mr. Chair, we might need to look at some clarification for that. We have different structures for different organizations that take in, like, the zoo, and I think the Destination Medical Center had some of their information protected because of they didn't want their donor lists, et cetera, available to the public. So if we might work on this between now and the floor to make sure that we have the right classification and that it all be public, I'd appreciate that.
I would appreciate that, Mr. Chair, Mr. Holberg.
Okay, any further discussion? Seeing none, then, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed.
Aye.
Motion carried. Representative Mahoney.
That's the extent of. Oh, I have the A. I have the A37 amendment, Mr. Chair, and I'd like to move the A37 amendment.
Okay, the motion is before us, and if you could explain the amendment, and then I might make a comment or two as well.
Certainly. What this does, the A37 amendment removes the funding and language related to the women's economic security provisions. I believe that they are going to be traveling separately. So we're going to take that out of the bill, at least the language, and I hope at some point that the money stays in this particular bill at some point, but I think that's for future meetings.
So just to reinforce, we've already, I think, scheduled the bill for next Wednesday, so it's just not going to be traveling in the omnibus bill, but it'll be traveling separately. We would call that, I guess, under the other bills category. So any discussion? Seeing none, then, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carried. Representative Mahoney, would you care to walk us through the bill, and then I think we have one amendment by Representative Clark. You can, well, she's not here now, so why don't we wait on her amendment until she's present, and it's a simple amendment, but she probably should be here when we take it up. So, Representative Mahoney?
Certainly, Mr. Chair. I had a $39 million target. I spent $38,625,000, and I left $375,000 on the bottom line. And the reason I left that money on the bottom line is there are two pieces of this bill that the departments are still working on with the advocates and with the proponents of the bill. And I'll explain that as I go through. I hope you all have a tracking sheet in front of you. Broadband grant program is $25 million. Broadband mapping is $450,000. Mona Lisa will come out, but it is in the tracking sheet at $500,000. There are six initiative foundations and one urban challenge program, all doing similar things at $1 million apiece. There is money for the Regenerative Medicine Research Institute at the U of M and at Mayo, and that is funded at $450,000. Small Business Development Center program. These are organizations that work with small businesses or startups, and there are 10 of them around the state. They each get $50,000. The Business Growth and Expansion Voucher Pilot Program. This is, we have some programs that work primarily with companies of 200, 250, 300 employees. This is really focused on small companies, 25 employees or less. We've been very fortunate in Minnesota. Our economy is doing better than any other state around us other than North Dakota. But some of that growth is not getting out into places around the state. And this is really focused on helping small businesses in greater Minnesota help pay for the consulting fees that Better Business Plan, Better Marketing Plan, HR, and a variety of others. Minnesota Job Skills Partnership has a $1.6 million allotment, and that's where my tails come in. $600,000, $1.6 immediately, and $1 million a year in the tails. Job Skills Partnership is a program that's been around for a very long time. It trains incumbent workers. On line 19, Women's Non-Traditional Jobs Program, another piece of the WESA, is in at $500,000, and it has another piece of my tails. And this is to get women in jobs that pay more money. Women in the state and in this nation make approximately 75 cents on the dollar that for every dollar a man makes, and we're trying to address that. Line 21 is the apprenticeship pilot program, and that is also an apprenticeship pilot program for healthcare workers and precision manufacturers, and we are still trying to come up with how much the cost of that will be to the two departments that are involved, DOLLI and our Department of Labor and Industry, indeed, and that's part of that $375 at the bottom line. Line 23, new employee training partnership, that's in for $1 million. That is a program much like a couple of our neighbor states have done with tax credits. What this does is, if you are hiring a new employee, you are eligible, and there's a piece in there I'll speak to in a minute, for a $3,000 training grant. And if you hire vets, disabled, or long-term employee, unemployed, you get an extra $1,000. And it is focused, it's a preference is given to counties where the unemployment rate in that county is 1.5 percentage points above the state average. At line 26, there's $500,000 in the bill for the Olmstead implementation. For those that don't know, there was a Supreme Court decision on the ADA that requires states, and Minnesota being one of them, to better serve people with disabilities. And that is, it was in the governor's request at $500,000 and $2 million entails. I'm asking them to come back in the next budgetary cycle for the tails. 29 is women in non-traditional jobs apprenticeships. That's in at $250,000. That is part of the WESA program. That's to help women get into high-paid apprenticeship jobs and set up a career. Line 22 is the other piece of the apprenticeship pilot program, precision manufacturing. And line 30 is the minimum wage implementation. If we pass minimum wage and it has an inflationary adjustment to it, the Department of Labor and Industry will be tasked to notify employers that that is part of their deal. And then line 34 has a $31,000 cost, because last year in the work comp bill, the work comp advisory committee and the put in its bill that they would cover post-traumatic stress disorder, and that $31,000 is what it will cost the state to cover post-traumatic stress. And so that comes to a total of $38,625,000. And that, Mr. Chair and committee, is the bill.
Okay, and I Representative Clark, we withheld on your amendment while you were out of the room, so why don't we revert back, because that's kind of, as I understand it, a housekeeping amendment, and then we have the bill in proper order. Representative Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It is. This is a bill that just extends the time period that the trade office can work with folks who are working on trade and cultural communications and with the East Africa, basically Somalia. There's been a lot of war effort going on there, and so it's taken them longer than they thought.
Okay, and
it's a friendly amendment, Mr. Chair.
Okay, so any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed. Motion carried. Any discussion on the bill as amended? Let's see. Representative Beard.
Mr. Chair, thank you. Representative Mahoney, for several years we had a telecom committee, and I was privileged to serve on that. I remember the discussion around broadband, which has gone back for several years. One of the things we were really in angst about at that time was DSL. Nobody even talks about DSL anymore. And then there was the wars between the cable companies and the telephone companies about who got to pull cable modem wire and how we could undo the cable monopoly and things like that. My point is there are disruptive technologies on the horizon. I was not privileged to participate in the telecom discussion the last couple of years as this came forward, but I have two questions for you. First of all, can you assure the committee and this member in particular that you actually did take that into account, that there are disruptive technologies not only over the horizon, members are on the horizon now, they're going to challenge fiber optic and some of the other broadband deployments, at least hardwired deployments, and may render them obsolete within the next two or three years. Was that considered when you were putting this together?
Mr. Chair, Representative Beard, to the extent that we can see into a crystal ball, yes. That discussion did come up, and 2 to 3 years or 20 to 30 years, neither the authors of the cable companies or the task force could give us an answer that was definitive.
Mr. Chair, and Representative Mahoney, thank you. Yes, the crystal ball for telecom, 3 years is an eternity in that world, and things are happening quickly. So my second question is, this $25 million of taxpayer money we're going to put into this, is it put in such a way that as technology's changed, the money can either be spent in other ways or not spent at all and let another legislature take a look at the changes and see if we still need to keep moving in this direction?
Representative Mahoney.
Mr. Chair and Representative Beard, the simple answer is yes. There was a lot of discussion on how the policy and where it would be served, but to my feelings on it, yes, we are trying to set it up so it works with future technologies as best as possible that we can see into that crystal ball.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Ms. Money.
Representative Hulsman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just an observation and maybe confirmation from the author, because I checked with him. The vast majority, you said something like 91% of this economic development funding goes to Greater Minnesota, because I think we sometimes have to balance our bills, and all I'm doing in the capital investment billing is cutting, because my bill is too big. I think it's helpful for us to see the complementary portions of some of these bills, and for that strong emphasis in this bill for the economic development issues in Greater Minnesota, I think it's helpful for us to acknowledge that it happens heavily in this bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Representative Hausman. I want to thank Representative Mullery and Representative Gunther for pointing out the fact that I had neglected the urban areas and said that I should really take care of it. So there's probably, with the amendment that's on here, there's $40 million that's being spent, and 37 of it is going to Greater Minnesota, and a million or two is going to the urban areas. So, yeah, it's pretty substantially weighted to Greater Minnesota.
Representative Hausman, anything?
I just wanted to be sure that was understood for the record.
Okay, Representative Detmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Mahoney, in your description of the funds that are being spent here, you mentioned the word veterans, and usually when that word pops up, I perk up here. Where in the bill are you mentioning veterans?
You mean where the actual location?
Yeah.
It is in the... It is... I'm trying to find the training piece.
Article 2, Section 11 is where that is.
Article 2, Section 11, and it is the job training, the $1 million for the job training program. And what I mentioned, the new employee training partnership, and on the spreadsheet, it is on line 23. And what that is if an employer hires new employee, it's a pilot program to provide a $3,000 training grant for that employer to train that employee. There is an extra $1,000 available to that employer if he or she were to hire a veteran, a disabled person, or a long-term unemployed person. Okay. And if you'd like, I can find that line and page and line, but...
Mr. Chair, you said Article 2?
Article 2, Section 11.
Okay, I can find it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Mahoney. I just have two questions. The first one is on the business and community development grants that you have in here, and that they're going to local units of government. Could this $25 million be used to bail out Monticello? They've had a lot of problems in their broadband development. So is this some of this money going to go to them and other cities that have had trouble when they have been trying to develop their own broadband?
You're talking about the broadband money, the $25 million for the broadband?
Yep.
There is in the bill, I doubt that it would go to bail people out. There's a whole set of criteria in the bill for broadband and what they have to, what is the parameters for the grants, and that is on page 17, and it starts at line 17, location of the project. Kind and amount of broadband infrastructure to be purchased, plus you a whole series of applications, and I don't see anything about bailing out.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And then the second question that I have for you, Representative Mahoney, is how many FTEs are we adding then to state government in this bill? I see that you have a creation of at least one office. So how many FTEs for state employees are we adding with this, and then fees as well?
Which office are you referring to?
There's Mr. the Office Care. Of Regenerative Medicine Development. So it's a creation of this office. I assume that you're staffing it as well, unless you're using staff from another agency. So I don't know what kind of FTEs we're talking about, if there's any fees associated with that office or any of the other portions of the bill.
Mr. Chair, Representative Anderson, that is a grant to the University of Minnesota, and it will be handled through the Department of Employment and Economic Development as more of a pass-through than anything else, so I don't envision any new employees for that. There is a 3% allotment for funds out of the Minnesota Investment Fund to allow for administration, and I think that's $750,000 a year. I suspect that could be anywhere from 3 to 5 new employees over at the Department of Employment and Economic Development. We do need to track and make sure that businesses that take advantage of that particular program live up to their promises.
And Mr. Chair, Representative Mahoney, if you could get those numbers for me prior to this coming to the floor, it just would be helpful. I've been keeping track of all that data. So any of the FTEs from the department, if you can ask them what they expect to add with that 3% set aside, and if there will be any other additions anywhere else that are certainly part of this bill. Thank you.
Hey, Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Mahoney, Article 2, Section 11, the new employee training partnership, mentions that counties other than, I know, my county, we're not 1.5% below the state average unemployment rate. Actually, we're higher than, I should say. We're probably lower than the state average, I would assume. So does this preference mean that no employers in either of my counties, Dakota or Washington, as long as there's enough people in the other counties, our employees will not be able to participate and hire these vets and long-term unemployed people and get compensation?
Mr. Chair, Representative McNamara, that is correct. This is focused on Greater Minnesota and trying to, and it is a pilot program, so it is focused on trying to figure out if this actually works and to places where there are significant amounts of unemployment. There are places in this state, counties in this state, that have 11, 12, 14, 15% unemployment. And I don't have the list with me on the Washington or Dakota or Ramsey or Hennepin, but as an average for the metropolitan area, we are at 4.6, somewhere in that area, under 5%. So.
Just one more quick follow-up, Mr. Chair. Thank you. Well, Representative Mahoney, I think it's unfortunate that the places that we are able to create the jobs for these folks, that we're penalizing them and not giving them the opportunity to participate in these good programs. We should not have it that way. I think it's unfortunate because we are working hard at helping these kind of folks, and an opportunity to help us and have to get to the end of the line just doesn't seem very fair. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any further discussion? Well, seeing none, then Representative Mahoney, you want to make a motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move to insert the content of House File 2976 as amended into House File 3172 as separate article on the Jobs and Economic Development.
Okay, any further discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Representative Hamer, you're up next. If you all set.
Swallow the coffee.
And Representative Hamer, would you like to move the bill?
I would, Mr. Chair, I'd like to move House File 3273, mm-hmm. and I have two amendments to the bill.
Okay, would you like to take the amendments before you present the bill to get it in order, or do you want to present the bill and then take the amendments?
I think I'll present the bill and then I'll take the amendments.
Okay.
Okay. Because one of the amendments, I need someone to actually come down and testify, if that's okay with the chair.
We generally pose questions. If you've got a question of somebody and they want to come down and answer it, that'll be fine.
Okay. Well, let's just move the amendments then. I'll move the A3 amendment.
Okay. That motion is before us. If you'd like to explain the amendment.
This amendment it's for a bill that Representative O'Driscoll authored. It's for to train police officers on how to de-escalate situations involving veterans, and the money is supposed to go to the post board, and that's what this amendment does.
Okay, any discussion of the amendment? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Representative Paymar?
And then I have the RA-14-196 amendment.
Okay, the motion is before us. If you want to explain the amendment.
This has to do, it's sort of a technical fix to an appropriation, to the appropriation bill that we made last year for this new crime reporting system. It doesn't, I think, change the dollar amount, or does it? Mr. Waltz is here, and someone's from DPS is here. That's what I wanted to. I don't really know what the amendment does.
Yeah, I think, we generally don't take testimony, but we entertain questions, and I think the author of the bill just posed a question.
Somebody tell me what the amendment does.
Mr. Chair and members, my name is Dana Goetz from the BCA. As Representative Paymar said, this is just a technical fix. We had an appropriation for the new crime reporting system last year, and as part of the rider language, the appropriation was transferred from the Department of Public Safety to the Office of Enterprise Technology, since it's an IT project. However, $70,000 was to remain at DPS for an ongoing business position, which it did for fiscal year 14, but it was inadvertently transferred the whole amount in fiscal year 15 instead of leaving the $70,000 at DPS. So again, it's just a technical correction for what the intent of the appropriation was.
That's what it did.
Anybody have any further questions of the department? Okay, and the motion then is before us. Any discussion on the motion for the amendment? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carried. Now, Representative Pawlowski has an amendment. Do you want to take that after you present the bill?
We can take it now if Representative Pawlowski wants to offer it.
Mr. Chair, I'll move the A4 amendment. These are technical corrections recommended by MMB to the accounts for the disaster fund, chapters 12A and 12B. They're technical in nature.
Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carried. I think that's all the amendments then, Representative Kamar. So the bill is in the order that you'd like it.
Okay. Mr. Chair. I'm just going to briefly walk you through the spreadsheet, and if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer. So the you will note that there is $18,950,000 for salary supplements for the Department of Corrections. This will make sure that critical staff at our institutions are not being laid off. And you'll also note an $11 million appropriation for prison population growth. And this unfortunately occurred because the Department of Corrections was off by about 8% in their projections on how many beds we would need in their facilities, which I found quite astounding. But nevertheless, that's the reality that we're living with, which means that the department's going to have to rent 300 to 500 beds from our county jails to house these offenders. So in the next biennium, they're going to probably be coming back here with a sizable request. Representative Hausman, I'm sure they'll be asking for bonding for a new wing on a prison. But that's the whole policy matter and funding matter that you'll all take up when I'm long gone. So, but
I'm
that
damn happy about that.
this is necessary that we do it. So the other provision here is a Yaruso bill that that costs $125,000. It's to disclose to victims the city and the zip code of an offender when he or she is released from prison, if the victim so requests. You will see under the Department of Public Safety that there's nearly $12 million for the NextGen 911 emergency communication network. You have the Pawlowski disaster FEMA match, which is, Representative Pawlowski can explain it more, but the idea here is to, instead of calling the legislature back into special session when we have disasters, that we would have this fund to handle various disasters throughout the state. The next line item is $300,000 to the Office of Justice Programs for culturally specific domestic abuse services. This came out of a bill by Representative Clark, who was trying to provide some help for East African women who are being battered. And she had a bill that's for this purpose. So this appropriation will go to OJP. It's a competitive grant program, but it is for culturally specific services. The next line item is the O'Driscoll grant that I told you about. The following one is a bill that I authored for sexual assault prevention. This will go to the Office of Justice Programs and will be managed through MnCASA to provide sexual assault prevention. This is a competitive grant program also, so any community in the state can apply for this. We have a huge problem with sexual violence in the state. The MSOP program, the MSOP program, I mean, that whole facility is overflowing, and we really have not been putting very much money into prevention, and so this is a unique opportunity for us to do this. And the final line item I draw attention to is the $1.3 million appropriation out of the fire training safety account for firefighter training. And that is basically it.
Okay, any discussion on the bill? Seeing none, then, would you like to make a motion, Representative Beamer?
So, then I would move to...
you want to move to include the House file in the omnibus...
I'll move to insert the content of House File 3273 as amended into House File 3172 as a separate article on public safety.
Okay, the motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Representative Hornstein, you're next.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. I would like to move House File 3260, and I do have one amendment to the bill.
And you want to do the amendment before or after?
Sure. I can move it now. It'll get it in the shape I'd like the committee to consider it.
Okay, motion is before us. If you'd like to explain the amendment,
sure.
Hornstein.
So the A13 amendment does a couple of things. First, these were some issues that had come up either literally during or shortly after our hearing on Wednesday night that I wanted to make sure we could incorporate into the bill before it gets engrossed. The first part of the amendment, which includes 1.2 through 1.9, are some transfers within our general fund allocation. This is in response to some information that we have received over the last couple of days concerning our pothole emergency funding provision, and there were some conversations between the cities and counties and MnDOT in which we had sort of underestimated the need for this in our original bill. So we're increasing the emergency pothole patching and paving monies from $5 to $15 million. So we need to take some money from some other pots within the general fund allocation. So we're reducing the MnDOT and Met Council allocations by $5 million each to accomplish that. And then during our hearing in Transportation Finance Wednesday, a couple of technical issues had come up, and that's lines 12 through 22, and this relates to some concerns on the provisions concerning oil and rail safety spill prevention. So we have just a definition of an incident commander and then some technical language that was agreed to by the PCA and some of the pipeline companies. So that's what we have in the amendment.
Okay, any discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Representative Hornstein on the bill.
Thank you. Members, we had a $50 million target for transportation, and this bill for the general fund portion comes in at $49,682,000, so we're slightly under. We have about a little over $300,000 contingency we just kept in case some of these issues, similar to the one we just had to deal with, came up, just to make sure, again, we have some money on the bottom line for some additional expenditures that are unexpected. But I'm going to go over the items in descending order in terms of the amount of money that we're allocating. The first is $15 million, again, for this pothole fund. We also have $10 million for the trunk highway fund. So that's going to state highways, the trunk highway portion, and the general fund portion is going to counties and cities. And as you, I'm sure everybody on the committee may have a story or two about the just incredible needs we have as a result of our severe winter weather in terms of pothole repair. We have $10 million going to the Corridors of Commerce program. That's a successful initiative that we started last year to address certain road corridors that serve our farm-to-market needs and other commercial needs in the state. We got initial $300 million out the door last year, and this adds to that primarily for some right-of-way acquisitions. We have $10 million to Metro Transit that will be designated towards arterial bus rapid transit, other bus rapid transit programs. Representative Clark has been very helpful in terms of identifying some needs with transit shelters, so that's covered here, as well as Representative Dean's initiative on transit rides on Election Day. We have $5 million for grade crossings, rail grade crossings. This is an ongoing need, and we've identified this as part of our safety package as it relates to oil rail freight transportation. $4 million for the TED program, that's Transportation for Economic Development. That's, again, a new initiative that relates to intersections primarily, interchanges and other related infrastructure near new economic development projects. We set up a oil transportation safety fund. We have an initial allocation of $2.5 million. We also have money coming from the private sector to supplement that as well through an assessment. We have $2 million for capital security, $500,000 for port development, $250,000 for the Safe Routes to School program, which is not going for infrastructure but for programmatic and planning initiatives. So that is the bill in terms of the general fund money. We have a number of other transportation funding items traveling with this bill in Article 3. I'll just highlight a couple of the ones that received the most scrutiny in the Transportation Finance Committee. There was some concern about the trunk highway expenditures, particularly as it relates to a turnback project for Highway 14, and then a Stillwater bridge, not the new bridge, but the old bridge, we're using some trunk highway money as part of an endowment, so that bridge can be used for bike and pedestrian purposes. This is part of a bi-state agreement between Minnesota and Wisconsin on that, so there's some commitments that were made through that, and I just wanted to acknowledge those were two issues that were somewhat debated quite extensively in our committee. A third one related to railroad track lighting. We spent quite a bit of time on that one. There's a small allocation for that. That was primarily a policy discussion in our committee, but you know, we do have a small amount of money for the inspectors that's in this bill beginning in 2017. So there's other things, Mr. Chair, but those are the main ones that have received the most attention, and I would be happy to stand for questions.
Okay, any questions, Representative Hornstein? Well, seeing none, then, would you like to make a motion?
Sure. I would move that we will insert the content of House File 3260 as amended into House File 3172 as a separate article on transportation.
Okay, any discussion? Seeing none, then, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion carried. Let's see, we're going to have a few announcements. I think that takes care of everything other than Ms. Connolly, would you comment about Monday we're going to have three bills up, but the funding has been carried already. And what are those three bills? Have they been carried in the omnibus bill?
That's right. Members, House File 2180 is being carried in the K-12 bill. 2701 is being carried in the public safety component, and 2668, the Work Comp Advisory Council, is carried in Representative Mahoney's article. So those will just kind of tag along at the end.
Okay. And then we'll be finishing up the bill. I do have one comment that I do want to make. You know, I announced several times that once we adopted an article, we would be done with that article. I've had several conversations with Representative Clark. Apparently, we had a miscommunication when we adopted or laid over for inclusion the bill that she presented on Monday, she didn't realize that that was to be her article. That was our interpretation, and she had a slightly different interpretation. I did have conversations with her that if she had anything she wanted to add to that article, that would have to be re-referred to this committee. Her committee met last night. There will be a motion or a referral on the House floor sending that to this committee. I did, because I had made those announcements, tell Representative Clark that I would think about it and I would work with her on the issue over the weekend. Since then, she's put out through social media a request. Maybe you can tell us, Mr. or Representative Clark, for people to have me hear the bill. I never said I wouldn't hear the bill. I said it had to get here and that I would talk with her. And I don't know, is the committee going to receive this, all these emails? You asked each group to send 50 emails, several groups, to the chair of the committee at least. And I'm just wanting to give the committee members a heads up as to what may be transpiring, because, and I did tell her this morning that, we would talk about the bill on Monday morning, but I just want to make it very clear as to what's transpired to this point, and that there was apparently a misunderstanding as to what the issue was with the article of her bill. But am I the only one that's going to be receiving these emails, or is it the committee?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just got a copy of what I think you're talking about, and this was not from me. It was from one of the people who was at the hearing last night, who asked, you know, what could they do to support the bill after the we had quite a lively, I'm trying to think who else is on this committee. Maybe not from that committee. We had quite a lively discussion. And what I read in the email here says, ask each group, it's critical that each group, and this isn't from me, and I didn't ask for this to be sent, okay, but I'm going to tell you what it says. So I don't know if anybody else will get it. It says, please ask this, it's the Speaker and the Chair of the Ways and Means to support House File 2112, Housing Opportunities Made Equitable, and that people will be visiting with members of the Ways and Means. That's what it says. So I don't expect, I mean, I guess if anybody's concerned about this, please talk to me. I can tell you.
That part there about visiting with members of the committee, just wanted everybody to understand what transpired. I think everybody remembers that we had an email, and I made announcements that once we adopted an article, we were going to move forward, and we were done with that. Since then, we had the issue of the misunderstanding from Representative Clark's point of view and mine, that what we adopted or laid over for inclusion last Monday was to be the housing article. All I want to do is say that I will continue the discussion with Representative Clark. I'm also going to talk with the Housing Finance Agency. I understand they have some concerns about it, but I want to give everybody a heads up as to what the standing of the housing article is at this point in time. Representative Holbert.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm a little confused. You used the word that you will be discussing this bill on Monday. Does that mean it's not going to be on the committee hearing?
If we put it on the agenda, we don't have it in our possession yet. If we put it on the agenda, it'll be proper notice. It's the report that was reported out last night.
We had our final meeting last night.
And Mr. Chair, I understand that. So when you use the term, we'll be discussing the bill on Monday morning. I'm not sure what that meant.
What it means is that there's the possibility it will be added to the agenda. We will announce that, but I am going to be meeting with the Housing Finance Agency, because I'm told they have some concerns about it. Probably should talk to Representative Hausman, because it does reference bonding. I don't know if that's anything that she has looked at or will look at. So that's the standing. But I just, if people get emails or conversations, just so you know that there are conversations taking taking place about that article. The main reason I wanted to give people a heads up that there could be further discussion about housing on Monday is that there was this misunderstanding, even though we announced it clearly that once we were done, we were done. Representative Clark didn't realize, apparently, and she can comment if she'd like, that what was adopted last Monday was her article in the bill, that she had a desire to do some other things. And she did meet the deadline. I did tell her that if that were to come up, that it had to meet the deadline and be referred no later than today. And that will be on the House floor. So, Representative Clark, any further comment?
No, but, Mr. Chairman, it looks like we'll have a lively discussion. And
I
don't have anything else other than to say that I know that the people who feel strong about this feel very positively towards you and the speaker. There is concerns with some of what happened with Housing Finance Agency, and so, you know, that can be part of the discussion.
Yeah. So that's, if that answers your question, I'll be talking with Representative Clark, the Housing Finance Agency. I just want to get the lay of the land, and I'm going to do that fairly quickly, so we'll give notice about the bill and any amendments that may be offered to the bill as soon as possible.
And Mr. Chair, thank you for that clarification. I also have we're done with this issue. I have another question, but
I think we're done unless Representative Clark has any further comments. Oh. That's where we're at. Okay.
Mr. Chair, I don't know if Representative Hausman had wanted to wait. Okay. I'm sorry. We're curious, given the nature of this bill and the wide variety of issues that will all be contained in one bill, which, as everyone knows, is an amendment-rich environment. We're wondering, what do you see as the earliest date this bill will be on the House floor next week?
It could come up as early as midweek.
So as early as Wednesday? So
we're going to report it out on Monday. It's my understanding that the tentative discussions we've had is that it would come up early next week, probably about, and just wrote a note, it looks like it's probably going to be Thursday.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
Well, I'll have to do a little studying before that. So I'm glad to see it's Thursday and not Tuesday.
Me too.
Okay. With that, if there's no further announcements or discussions, meeting adjourned.